which is Appeal Number 07-1818, United States versus Keith Jennings. We have Mr. Jones.
May it please the Court, Mr. Machacek. The seizure of Mr. Jennings was not a routine police citizen encounter. The police were dressed completely in black with ski masks, and they were carrying what the government described as high-powered weaponry. They ordered Mr. Jennings and his occupant out of his vehicle at gunpoint. There was two officers on the passenger side with guns. There was two officers on the driver's side with guns. This was not a casual encounter. Mr. Jennings had committed no traffic violations or infractions. The officers testified at the suppression hearing that these folks were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was only a guess or speculation as to the nexus between them pulling up in this dead-end cul-de-sac and which house they may or may not have been interested in. In fact, the officers testified at the suppression hearing that they did not have any particularized facts at all that this vehicle was involved in criminal activity.
What difference does that make? Are you familiar with the Burton case?
I am not. This
is evaluated under a reasonableness standard, and even if they didn't have reasonable suspicion or probable cause or anything in between, we still look at it under a reasonableness standard, and it seems to me it was perfectly reasonable for the police to freeze the status quo in the immediate vicinity of the execution of this search warrant until it was done, given the nature of the search warrant in question, certainly.
Well, I think they first have to have some particularized facts to tie this vehicle and to tie these people
at
the house.
Why? Why don't they just have why isn't it perfectly reasonable for the police to freeze the status quo in the immediate vicinity of the location of the search, given all the, you know, firepower that was on the scene and all the potential for harm and danger in the execution of this sort of a search warrant? Why isn't that perfectly reasonable, even in the absence of no suspicion? Stop where you are. Don't move. We'll get back to you later when we're done with this search warrant.
I guess I can agree with you, but I think the facts in this case are a little bit different. In this case, the police are basically setting a de facto trap. They've got a dead-end cul-de-sac, which they control, and yet they allow this vehicle to enter the cul-de-sac. They don't do what you suggest and freeze the status quo. Matter of fact, they say it doesn't matter who you are. We're going to stop everybody that comes in there. Avon lady, newspaper man, a priest.
What's wrong with that?
They didn't stop them, and they had the ability to.
But were other people let through during the execution of the search?
No one was let through.
Yeah. Well, so it's only your client.
If they had stopped them, they might have tipped off the other people who they were after.
Yeah, if the Avon lady had showed up at this drug house, she would have been stopped too.
Well, it's more than that. It's a long road down into a cul-de-sac is where they have the ability, where they have the initial police officer.
Yeah, but he stopped right in front of the house, one parking space away, right?
Well, my understanding of the diagram is that there's no individual particularized spots for each house.
Well, he's one parking space away from the house that's being searched.
Okay.
That's pretty close.
Well,
the thing is that Judge Sykes is getting to here is that there's this area that's going to be subject to very intense police activity, weaponry and everything involved, and why isn't it reasonable to assume that they can establish some sort of reasonable perimeter around that area, and if anybody gets in there, they want to stop them and be sure, for their own safety and for the safety of who's ever coming in, that's not a reasonable thing to do.
Well, I guess once they get in, that's true. But they shouldn't be allowed to allow the vehicle. They have the ability to stop the vehicle much farther back, and they didn't do that.
Well, then you're saying that the perimeter that they set up ought to be greater than it was here.
Well, I agree. Because once we get the perimeter farther away, cases like Michigan versus Summers don't come into play because now there's no nexus between the individual and the house. The problem that I have is that they let them in. They didn't do anything wrong. They were moving away from danger. They were backing out. They're not at a high rate of speed. They're not. It's not a flight case. But and they stop them. They don't say, keep coming back, come on, get out. They stop them at gunpoint. It doesn't look to me like they're stopping them for officer safety. It's a full felony stop with two on one side and two on the other. The shift has now been taken away from the house and now to the car. We just feel that the officer safety exception to the Fourth Amendment, it casts too broad a net, and it's currently impermissible under the Fourth Amendment. We don't think any kind of safety issue ought to be allowed, and we felt that the stop was unconstitutional. Okay.
May it please the court, Mr. Jones. My name is John Machazik. I represent the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Indiana. And I, Judge Evans, I want to compliment you on getting my name correct. I don't think that's ever happened to me before. But with regard to...
Just a guess.
Okay, that's a good guess. With regard to the issue raised by Judge Sykes, there should be a reasonableness standard that applies to the situation here, and what the officers did was exceedingly reasonable under the circumstances. Mr. Jones suggests that the officers should have shut this street down before they began the execution of the search warrant on the house here, and that obviously would not be reasonable for the officers to do. It was a distance. And I think this is in the record, from the end of the cul-de-sac where the target house was out to the, I think it was Jefferson Avenue to the north, was a distance of less than 300 feet. Obviously, that would have alerted attention to anybody that was on the cul-de-sac if officers began diverting traffic away from that. And the officer's job the reason that they were stationed out on the front side of the house was to simply keep an eye on that area out there and make sure that there were no people inside the area of the cul-de-sac immediately in front of the target house that could pose a threat to the officers from the SWAT team that were entering from the rear. Only one car did go past the officers as they were parked on the side of the street, and that was the defendant's car. And this case, as far as the search is concerned, seems to be fully controlled by Michigan versus Summers and Baker, Bohannon, and Burchett, all the cases that were cited by the district court in its original decision, in its decision to deny the motion to suppress. And each one of those cases cites as the reason to give officers the ability to take control of a situation like this is because of the inherent danger that the execution of a search warrant on a drug house creates for people outside of the premises as well as the people inside the premises. And the record shows that the officer said that one of the reasons that they initially approached the vehicle and asked the individuals to show their hands, they intended to have them out and get down, was because when officers are entering a drug house from the opposite side of the house, which was the situation here, there could be a push of individuals outside the front, which would be in the direction of the officers and the defendant. And if automatic weapons were fired, then anybody out there would be in significant danger of harm. And that's why, under the case law, it's reasonable for the officers to do what they did in this situation. And as far as the location of the defendant's car, I believe the record showed that he parked at the closest spot that was available to the target house in that parking area. The defendant was in a location. I think Judge Sykes raised the issue as to whether or not there might be some significance about where he parked, and that was something that the officers had noted as well. But it was originally in the defendant's best interest for the officers to take charge of the situation as they did here, for their safety and the safety of the public. Unless the court has any other questions for me, I'll rest on my brief. Thank you.
Mr. Jones, anything more?
Briefly, Your Honor, if I could address the four cases that the district court and the government relied on, and I'm not so sure that I agree that those four cases go to officer safety, but whether or not we can search someone that happens to come near to a house that there's going to be a search warrant. Michigan versus Summers is probably the closest case we've got, but the district court and the government in its brief says that that Summers was outside the house in Michigan, or outside the house in that case where the search warrant was going to be served. It was a little bit more than that. They saw Summers actually come off the porch, and he had this nexus with the house, so they knew that he was somehow involved. Baker versus Monroe, the civil case the judge cited, was a seizure case. They knew that family was going directly to this particular house for their dinner party when the police seized them. The Bohannon case, the meth trailer case, they're actually going directly toward the meth trailer. They get out of their vehicle. They walk directly toward this particular trailer. The police had suspicions. That's why they stopped him. That's why they brought him within the search warrant. Burkett, Kiefer, the defendant approached a property line and then ran. In this case, no one knows when the police stop whether they're going to this particular house or not. There's no particularized facts that this defendant is involved in any criminal activity, and it's strictly a guess on behalf of the police as to the search warrant issue, as to where he's going. And in fact, when they stop him, when they block him, he is going in the opposite direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jones, you are appointed in this case. Is that correct? We do thank you for accepting the appointment. Mr. Majasek, you should know, though, that all the judges on this panel, ironically, are from Milwaukee, and Majasek is as common a name as Jones in Milwaukee.
Maybe I have some relatives out there.
You might.